Hey, guys, thanks a lot for calling in.
And Ro, just want to let you know, Steve's over 220 right now.
Oh, good. He's a fat, disgusting mess. I'm proud of you, Steve. You've come a long way.
Nah,
you're the best.
Good job, Steve. You're still not into Rhodestown.
Getting there.
All right.
Hey, I'll call you guys, man. Be good.
Keep ruining yourself. That's awesome.
That's what we're doing.
Thanks, guys.
All right, later. Cut them off. Cut them off now.
That's it. They'll never stop.
Those guys rock. They're fun.
In all seriousness, the show is an answer to those insulting Planet Fitness commercials.
Ah.
Yeah, because we lift things up and put them down. Yeah. That's pretty insulting stuff.
It is,
because
if it was the big guy picking on the little guy, everybody would be up in arms. Oh, how dare they do that? It's called natural selection, people. The strong will survive. But in our PC society, we have to be nice to those.
We have another caller?
Oh, we have another caller. We have to be nice to those little people. So we care about you, though.
All right, go ahead. Let's try this again. Who we got here?
Hey, guys, it's Drew. What's going on?
Drew Steen. Oh, God. People we know. What's up, dude?
This is a trip down a bad memory lane. What can we do for you, Drew, that we don't do on Friday nights already?
Just wanted to make sure I filled in your time slot a little bit. You guys know it's the first night.
Drew, I have to ask you a question. What is it like to train with the two of us?
To be honest with you, it's pretty much awesome. It's everything I ever thought it could be. No, really, seriously, anybody that's listening, you guys have kind of taken me where I never thought I'd be.
Wow.
I'm a little guy. I compete 198 and 220, and I'm a 500 bencher, so.
Yeah. Drew's come a long way with the...
When I started training with you guys, I was, 315 was a big goal for me, and now it's,
everyday weight.
It's going to be 600, so.
Absolutely. Drew, thank you.
Drew, you're the best man. Checks in the mail.
We paid Drew off.
I got to tell you, within 2 minutes of listening to the show, Nate just asked me for an extra cereal bar before bed.
That's a good kid, man.
We're putting weight.
Encouraging him.
We're encouraging everybody to eat more calories right now. Get bigger while listening to us.
Yeah, if you have a free hand, put something in it and make it food or whatever.
Drew, it's awesome. We're glad to train with you. And we talked about our guest list, and we wanted to have you in the studio with us.
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, because Drew is an engineer. He's quite entertaining and a really strong cat. So he's one of the guys that adds something to the crew. So it's good to have him there. Thanks for calling in, Drew.
Drew, you rock. We'll see you Friday, man.
See you Friday, bro.
All right, later, man.
So speaking of getting big, I really have to bring up something that I'm a huge fan of, and I know there's a lot of fans out there, and probably a few people are quite offended by it. But, Matt, you founded a place for the big guys called Rhodestown. You're actually the mayor of Rhodestown. I know Dave called it Rhodesville once.
I know.
Dave Tate.
I know. It's okay, though, because Dave's my sponsor, so he can say whatever he wants.
Well, he's your sponsor, so am I now not with Elite FBI?
Well, you are, too, but
okay.
At the time.
I just wanted to check.
Yes.
So tell us about this this lovely land, Rhodestown.
Well, it actually started kind of funny. Had a breakup with a girl when I was depressed, and I was gaining weight going into the super heavies, and I know that's pathetic, everybody, but whatever. So I'm gaining weight going into super heavies, and I'm chuckling at some of the things that I wasn't able to do anymore. Scratch the back of my head, hold the cell phone to my ear, and all that stuff. And I started jotting a couple of these things down at work, and pulled a piece of paper out of my pocket one day, and I got six or seven things, and I'm like laughing to myself. I'm like, God, this is pretty funny. So
it's like one of your manifestos?
Exactly. This is it. This is my mind comp.
Oh, jeez.
So I sat there and I started typing on a computer, chuckling to myself, and I emailed it to Jim Wendler, and he posted it on his log, and people loved it.
Is this the Jim Wendler that we're going to be talking to? It is 531 Cha-Ching Jim Wendler.
It is that Jim Wendler.
Oh, okay, I just want to make
Jim
sure.
Wendler, yeah. The one, the only.
I want to pick up that name you just dropped, but
yes.
Keep going.
Yeah, I do what I can do, So I just sat there at the computer. It took me like a half an hour and just banged these things out and chuckled to myself in my room. Probably kind of pathetic, but
Why did you do it? Where did this hatred towards all things not big come from?
Well, because I was a skinny kid, and I never really got picked on much, but I just hated being skinny.
Uh-huh.
And, I remember seeing a picture of me my freshman year of football in the yearbook, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't know how I played football at that size. I had to be 6'3", 140 pounds. And I'm like, oh my God, is that? And I was like that my whole life, and until I got into college, basically, and really started eating, hitting the weights, and.
But where did this anger come from? This, I mean, Roadtown is an angry place. I mean, do you want to discuss? Can we discuss some of the rules?
Absolutely. I have a few of my favorites here.
Go ahead, throw some out.
All right. Rule number one. It's the easiest one. You must be at least 275 pounds, regardless of height. I don't care if you're 5'3". Blame your parents. You can get there. All right, you got to be at least 275. We got to have rules. This is exclusive.
Yeah, it is. It is an exclusive club. So, I was even kicked out once. I was under 275 for a little bit. I had to. I got kicked out. I had to.
You should have seen what he had to do to get Megan.
I had to rescind. They rescinded my passport. I came back in. One of my favorite rules is sweating all the time. When you're a big guy, when you see a guy just sitting there sweating for no apparent reason,
applaud him.
It's usually big. I can tell a great story. My wife. Who likes to? She's not a wilting flower. She speaks her mind. We're at a powerlifting meet, and Mike Ruggieri is there. And those of you who don't know Mike, Mike's traps start at the top of his forehead.
Ugh.
Mike's enormous. He's sitting there, dripping sweat, soaked, just sitting there at the meet, not lifting. My wife goes, God, he's sweating bad. And he just turns around and looks up at us. He's like, yeah, it's hot in here, isn't it? I mean, it was probably 50 degrees. You know, he's in flip-flop shorts and a tank top, just sweating like our good friend T.T. McRae at a spelling bee.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sweat quite a bit myself.
Oh, yeah. Since I've been down, I'm about 300 right now. It's not as bad, but it's pretty bad. You walk across the gym, and you're like, geez.
I'll never forget when I was 328.
Yes,
0.5.
That was impressive. Yeah, that was impressive.
I used to sweat in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, seriously, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
What's some of your other favorites?
If you can see your cheekbones, your collarbones, or your jawbone, start eating.
Yeah.
This is a problem that can only be remedied by overindulgence. Eat. Come on. Have some pride in yourself.
That,
all right?
That goes along with this one. You don't have to take... If you have to take your shirt off to show that you're jacked...
You're not.
You're not.
Yeah. Sorry,
you know, if
you're 170 pounds, you're not ripped. You're skinny. I'm sorry. Like, but there is hope for you. There is hope for you, and that's why we're here.
When guys say, yeah, you know, I train 5 hours a night at the gym, and, you know, you see them walking down the street, you don't tell they lift. That's heartbreaking.
It is.
Listen, you need to be big enough that people notice.
Exactly.
Eat more.
Eat more. Exactly.
What else you got there?
I got, along with the eat more, no food to be left on your plate.
Oh.
You throw open your mouth, swallow it back down, and continue eating. I've done this.
Well, I watched it. We were at a seminar up in Boston.
It's disgusting.
And we challenged Matt to eat the food on his plate. It was embarrassing. He was eating like a little girl. Jim Wendler was there. Alan Cosgrove, Mike Frugia.
Alan Cosgrove was there. Yeah, it was.
They all sat there and just ridiculed Matt as he couldn't finish boneless.
Murph was there, yeah.
He had a plate full of boneless.
Yeah, and you know what?
Taunting him.
Vincent and I ordered like pizza skins and like
I don't
chicken
eat
wings,
that food.
And then we had dinner, and Wendler shows up, and he ordered like chicken wings, ate one, and goes, "Hey, here you go, finish this." Like, really, dude? Come on, man. It was one of the. It was horrible, but I had a goal to pack on weight, and that's how you do it. It's not a pleasant experience.
No, and a lot of people say, "Oh, I eat 10,000 calories a day." No, you don't.
No, you don't.
And if you do it, you got to do it every day. Because I know I was eating over 7,000-8,000 calories to get big every day, and it's like a full time job.
Yeah, everything revolves around food. You eat breakfast, and then 2 hours later, you're eating again, and you're planning your meal 2, 4, 6 hours down the road. It's horrible.
I know when I walk around, I have kind of a duffel bag almost that I carry around with me with food all the time. But, you know, that's what it takes.
What you got to do. If you have a goal and your goal is to pack on the size, you got to
do it.
You got to eat. Eat like a Viking, you know.
Another rule I like, your neck should be bigger than your head.
Absolutely.
It is not cool to be called Stack of Dimes Neck.
No.
No.
Not good at all. We got jacked, bloated, and strong is the only way to go through life.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
I like that. How about it's looked upon with great reverence when your cholesterol is higher than your body weight.
Of course, for all those who are politically correct, going, oh, God, that's not healthy. I know, but it's funny.
This isn't...
But it's funny.
You know, I spend every Friday night, we spend every Friday night in the gym when people are out at the bars drinking, partying. And so, you know, if people are going to say that my vice of being big and lifting weights isn't heavy, well, you know, people have to point the fingers at themselves. It's all kind of what you want to do. It's your own choices.
Exactly.
What else we got here? We got no more than 3 days a week of cardio. That's a rule.
Yeah, or 12 days a month.
12 days a month?
Yeah.
What if it's a leap month?
Oh, Jesus.
I really got
why,
you.
Why do you
got
to go with the exception to the rule? I say don't do the cardio.
At all?
Don't do the cardio. No, it's stupid.
No cardio on leap month.
Stupid.
Or on the 31st day of March.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do it. One of my favorite ones you wrote was, this must have been when you were in a really good place. There are no medical or dental benefits, but you will receive a free haircut.
Absolutely.
I mean, most of us are bald, so.
Exactly. Saving money on razors, too, man. I'm always thinking. I'm smarter than I look, man.
The haircut is pretty easy.
Yeah, exactly. And my final one, any man under 200 pounds is a woman.
Ooh.
No offense to the ladies, but guys, come on, man.
You got to step
some pride in yourself.
You got to step it up.
Yeah, be big. It's awesome.
Yeah,
see,
being big is awesome.
When you walk into a bar or into a restaurant or something,
okay,
everyone turns and looks at you, it's kind of cool, actually.
Big time for none other than Mr. Jim Wendler.
Oh, get out of here. Is he on?
Is this Jim Wendler?
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, Jim. What's up, man?
You guys are talking about how fat you are.
Hey, listen, Jim. I remember distinctly no powerlifters over 20%. Is that not true?
I can hear your gyno shaking.
I know, it must sound like a race car, like hearing my deep breathing while I'm talking.
A raspy voice.
We are Ferraris, Jim. We are Ferraris.
Yeah, you know, a muscle car, real well, semi-muscle car.
Muscle.
So, Jim, it is great to have you here. I really appreciate you coming on, being the first guest.
Thanks for having me. This was probably the only show I listened to.
Oh, you rock, dude. He's the freaking man.
Oh, my God. Now I know why I love to stay at Casa de Muerte when I'm in Ohio.
Yep.
Well, I'm already drinking, man. So
that's what I'm talking about, dude.
Protein shakes, right, Jim? Protein shakes? Yeah.
Speaking of drinking, Jim, what's your favorite adult beverage, brother? What do you got?
My favorite adult beverage is, without a doubt, it's got to be like Jack Daniels, Jim Beam, or something like that with some low-carb Monster.
Low-carb. Now, you should feel shame. I still have a bottle of Jim Beam at the house when you came to visit that is unopened.
Well, there's a good reason for
that. Yeah, we'll get into that later.
I think I was a day sober yesterday. That was my first. No, 2 days ago.
Nice.
2 days.
Dude.
Excellent, Jim.
Came
high.
I was sober.
Nice. What was the occasion?
I just was tired.
Good. Hey, you know, you got to recharge the battery sometimes, man.
You didn't have to get up and walk to the mailbox and collect a check?
Dude, Juliet does that shit.
That's what I'm talking about. Speaking of an enabler.
She actually opened up the fucking blinds in my house for the first time in like 2 years.
Really?
Oh, so annoying, man.
The sun, Satan's evil flashlight.
Jim, I got a question.
Yelling at me right now.
Get out. Jim, I do actually have a serious question because I saw the bloated picture of Jim Wendler. You know, the totally yoked out traps from hell, just jacked.
I was just looking through some old pictures today. I came across a ton of those. Yeah.
What was the impetus for that? I mean, you know, you've been around lifting. You're a Goliath in the industry. Where did it all start from? Why did you want to be big?
You have to understand too is, you know, he grew up in a little bit different time than is now. And, you know, Schwarzenegger was huge. That kind of action hero was huge.
Oh, yeah.
ever since I was young, I've always wanted to lift weights and be strong. Just like any other kid, I would assume, at that time, was kind of like that. It never kind of stopped. And then, you know, I helped my dad forever and ever about training. And I remember the summer before my eighth grade year, and I'm not exactly sure how old I was, maybe 12 or something, 13, I bet. And he took me in the weight room, and right before he did, he looked me right in the eye and said, you know, if you start this, you will not quit on me. and that's pretty much, I haven't stopped since.
That's awesome.
And it's funny, I was growing up, and I was not terribly skinny. I wasn't like 5'9", 100 pounds, but I was always pretty thin. And, training was always about getting stronger and playing football. And you see, you know, those guys that I looked up to, like Walter Payton, who was retardedly in shape and strong, Barry Sanders, Chris Spielman, everyone's hated, when I grew up, Tony Mandridge was huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When he was on the cover.
Cover Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny because people always call him, like, the biggest bust and stuff. I'm like, well, I've never been on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. I never played the NFL for 7 years.
Yeah, Matt has, and he played in the NFL, and it's like, they call him out on his bullshit, and it's like, at the same time, he's done more than any of us have ever.
Well, you almost played for the Jets at one point.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was a fucked up thing. And that's a whole other story. Ever since I've been a kid, that's all I want to do is to be strong, and after I got done playing football, and I was still, Matt will attest, I was still fairly strong, and I was stronger than I knew, than I thought I was, because I just trained by myself, and I trained. You didn't have the internet like we have now. You didn't have videos, so the weird thing was I remember looking at a pilot at the USA, like my senior year of college, or maybe it was the year after, and I looked at like the 242 class, which was what I was closest to at the time, and I was like, holy fuck, these guys are squatting like 800, and that was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and about 10 years ago, and I couldn't fathom it. I had no idea there was equipment.
Right.
I thought this was all just dudes with belt and knee wraps.
Yeah, old school lifting.
Yeah, that's all I knew. And then it's like, I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to bench, 600 or 500 even. I can barely not bench like 405 or something. And I realized, holy shit, I did that with a close grip. I squatted, 620 for a double, and it's like without any equipment on. And all of a sudden I realized, I'm actually kind of right there. And I've said this before, as I have a summer cold, as I call it.
It's
not summer yet. Yeah.
So much. Yeah, I know.
Especially in Ohio, you guys probably still have snow.
It's fucking raining, and it's nice here today. Actually, there's been rain involved. But the funny thing is,
see, you open the blinds, you would have never known. Damn that, Juliet. Yeah. You would have never known it's raining. You wouldn't be so depressed.
What is this water falling from the sky?
I should go out and bathe. Give me a bar of soap.
God was crying because he's probably masturbating.
Again.
Yeah.
Damn him.
Right in my elbow. I Zercher squat my penis. All right, then it just kind of took off from there. But the thing that really, and you guys can attest to this because you guys are all about our age, my age, is we didn't have anything to go on but our own lifts and maybe the people we hung out with. That was it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was kind of neat because you kind of had to learn for yourself, and it was, the instant gratification today, and there's so much information thrown out there. I mean, I had like 2 books on lifting,
Right.
I was like, fuck, I'm just going to squat, and hopefully things work out. And that's,
right.
It's way better than what it is today. Because, and I'm not, sitting here trying to be like, the old days were so much better, kind of old man, but that kind of process kind of weeded away the fucking douches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It required a lot of,
Trial and error.
And commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit.
Oh, my program's not working. I only put 10 pounds on my bench this month.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, God, dude. I'm glad I came up in that time. And you guys, it's funny because no one bitches and moans more than me about some stuff. But at the same time, you guys know that, when I do the seminars and stuff, and I get kind of upset, but at the same time, there's nothing more than I want to help people. But it's hard, when trying to tell them, it's going to take some time.
Yeah, no one wants to hear that. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Wants the instant gratification.
Yeah, but the thing is that, it's always the journey.
Yeah.
This shit has taught me more about, it's made me better. Whatever I've learned, it's made me the best friends in the world.
Seriously,
I
got to ask you. You mentioned the journey. I'm sorry to cut you off, Jim.
Yes.
You mentioned the journey, and this isn't to sell your book, and this is, I want to ask about 531 because it was a journey. I know, like, when I was young, and I'm older than you guys, I probably got 5 years on you guys, I started with bigger, faster, stronger. And basically, you put a barbell in my hand, and you know, I was either going to squat it, deadlift it, or bench it. Maybe maybe clean once in a while. And you know what? I got really big because I've been committed to sticking with the barbell for, you know, a good 25 years. And I was like, how'd you get so big? You know, I was doing preacher curls in the basement with 15s. No, I mean,
really?
You know, the journey has been consistency with the barbell, I love the 531 program. I mean, I do a bunch of different programs, but I'd like to hear about the journey because people are like, ah, it's just something you put together. You lived it. You put it through the ropes.
Yeah, I mean that book took me about 4 years. That program, I call it the Beavis and Butthead effect.
Is that the two of us?
Yeah, and they're like fucking goopy with some butthead. You know, it was so easy, and it's the same thing. It's just I tried, you know, what did Einstein say? You know, make it as simple as possible, but not too much or whatever. And it took a lot of trial and error. It took a lot of, it took a ton of trial with other people because I kind of knew what I could do and how my body responded. But when I put it to other people from the workout, you know, I would screw with the percentages, all this other stuff, and I knew when guys would get stronger and guys wouldn't, and it's like there was a certain, you know, there was things that held true, like the truths, and they still do. And it's funny because in this day and age, everyone thinks that they're different.
Yeah.
And I thought about this today.
Squatting doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And it's funny because people are like, oh, you know, we've got to find what works for you. It's like, dude, everything works for the same. If you put your hand on the fucking stove, it's going to burn. It's the same thing with everyone else. And the basic program using basic principles will always work. It's just, you know, everyone will have a fucking excuse because they're not as genetically gifted as the next person. You know, maybe it's just going to take them a little bit more time. But I always, you know, you got to find a program that works. It's like, dude, a good program will work for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's just about it. I hate it. You know, everyone wants to think that they're special, but it's really not true. I mean, I'm no more special than the next person. And that's just something I really wish people would get through. It's, you know, the old thing is, you know, you're exactly right. Like, oh, my legs don't grow on squats. Like, dude, no, yes, they do. You just suck.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not doing them right.
Yeah. And of course, there's always exceptions as a rule. For example, I wrote a post not too long ago about doing weighted chin-ups, and I said weighted chin-ups are great. But you still need to do body weight chin-ups unless you can do like 20, you know, sets of 20 with great form. Then you probably need to gain weight. But the bottom line is you need to mix and match. And some guy wrote to me and said, well, look at Constantine. He can do them. And I'm like, you really put the rules
to that freak?
The rules on fucking Constantine? Like, that just shows me how stupid that person is.
Yeah.
How ignorant he is.
Because we're all like that, right?
Yeah, we're all, like, you know, pulling 950 without a belt. And that's, you know, that's a very, very, very frustrating thing is, you know, you make a general thing because you're, you know, I'm writing to, you know, 2 million people sometimes. That's how many people visit the website. And I'm not saying 2 million people read it, but that's kind of what
right.
The scope of what EFS has become. And you have to make some general concessions. But, man, you can't, you know, you can't use Michael Jordan as your example.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't prove the rule with the exception.
Yeah,
you can't. Yeah, and so that just gets that's you know. But anyway, the bottom line is that journey, and I'm glad I took it because it's the more that I I listen to people speak and stuff like that, and they always tell you to read and that stuff. And honestly, you know, I'm an English major, so I've read a ton of stuff other than lifting books. And the best thing I ever do was write because when you write stuff down. You confirm your own thoughts and some of the stuff that you didn't know about yourself kind of comes out. And that when I wrote that book, everything kind of came to a head. It was perfect for me.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I wrote that entire book first, and I wrote the introduction to philosophy because it all became clear to me.
Clear, right.
It's clear to me. Maybe it's not what anyone else, maybe they have different opinions and stuff like that. But for me, it was a real eye-opener. So I always tell people, even if you journal, I don't mean like, you know, you gotta keep a fucking diary or anything like that.
Diary of Red.
Yeah.
It's fair.
The diary of Peg.
9,000 pages long. So, what a step.
The diary of Peg's broken dreams and despair.
Volume 48.
By the way, nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
That's okay.
And that's okay, but that's something for us to laugh about.
Peg was here yesterday. This is a true story. And he's got like one of those big oil cans of Monster, you know?
Yeah,
Was he wearing his Vibrams?
Oh, God. Don't even. I'm not going to talk about Vibrams. That's
Tim, isn't that the new thing? I thought you told everybody you need to squat in Vibrams.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, like Olympic lifters have been getting it wrong for 100 years. and so he's here, and he's got this, you know, come up, like the screw cap.
Yeah,
so
it's like 37 ounces of awesome.
Yeah, I literally poured like a shot of like a Jack Daniels in there. He's like, dude, and we did a shot. I have a bottle of Jaeger here. I'm like, dude, let's do a fucking shot. So he didn't even finish his Monster. So he had to make a shot and a half over like 6 hours, and he had to get a ride home.
Really?
Well, at least he's being safe, Jim.
Yeah, like there's road stop in London, Ohio.
Nobody cares what's going on in London, Ohio. Except a bunch of guys who lift heavy things.
The bustling metropolis.
They're feeding you drinks so the white trash kill themselves, right?
They're thinning the herd.
Yeah, there's road stop. You gotta do a shot. Here, yeah, handing out meth. So.
Hey, Jim, I know you kill yourself with conditioning. I love that seminars when you talk about your conditioning. And if anybody doesn't know about Jim's conditioning, some of the routines have been epic. Can you talk about, you know, the first time you ran hills? I love that story and why you challenge yourself the way you do.
The whole thing came when I was in high school. I grew up just outside of Chicago, and Walter Payton was a huge, obviously, huge influence, and he ran hills all the time. And one of the hills that he did run was the one I ran, and
no way, that's cool. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's pretty. That thing will kill you. And I have not been back probably since. I really don't go back home too much, but anyway, to make a long story short, after I got done powerlifting, you know, I just got sick and tired of being awful, and boy, I'm getting some hate mail about that.
Yeah,
and
we still love you though, dude.
Yeah. And it took me a while to find a hill out here, and I started doing that, and, like, the first time wasn't awful, because I'm not stupid with my return.
You go to the bathroom, aren't you, Jim?
No, I'm just drinking so much.
Yeah.
And, that's how I make up for my conditioning.
Nice.
And, but what was awesome was, it was the, you know, with conditioning, who was it? It's Kevin Garnett. He said, you know, it takes no talent to try hard.
Yeah.
And talks about playing defense. And, you know, it you guys will attest to this, it takes no talent to be in shape. All it does is take work.
Right.
And
once
I started realizing that, you know, it's just a matter of commitment. And I think that the first time I actually ran was in the fucking snow. And I mean, it was brutal, but not too bad. And then it got worse and worse. And I don't think I missed a day for almost a year, 3 or 4 days a week. Rain or snow, yeah. I'm talking snow drifts, like I had to, like, walk. I was like, as long as I get up the hill, you know, that means I made it, and I'm talking through, you know, snow. And then we've done some other stupid stuff, like putting the weight vest on and walking the big hill.
Right.
Kill you. And the big hill is probably twice as long as a small hill. Obviously, the per hour is good. The thing that I always do, though, is when you think about conditioning, you have to think about it in terms of training, too. Is you can't kill yourself all the time, just like you can't max out all the time.
Right.
And so what I do is, like, I always do something. And it's not like I'm, you know, out there throwing up every time.
Right.
But every once in a while, I always put myself through a challenge.
Yeah.
And it can happen maybe once a month, twice, you know, once every 2 months or something like that. So at least you have something to go for.
Hey, Jim, can we need to take a break because we haven't taken one yet. Can we pick this up on the other side of the break because I really want to keep talking about it?
Yeah, let me make a cocktail here.
Okay,
you got it, brother.
Take care of yourself. We'll talk in a few minutes. All right, I'll hang in there.
Good.
Yep. All right, we're back with Jim Wendler, who is probably still talking or filling his drink or I don't even want to know.
Got some Left Lane Cruiser playing?
Yeah, dude.
Jim, you turned me on to this band, and I actually emailed them to make sure that we could use the promo, and they were totally cool with it.
Oh, really? No shit. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, the video you put up from YouTube on your, that you posted, I think Black Lung, has twice as many hits as any of their other songs.
No shit, really?
Yeah, but we're going to push this band, I mean, because
they rock.
Jim is a big connoisseur of music, and I don't necessarily like all of Jim's music, but
there's some gems.
This was a gem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, I think Left Lane Cruiser is from Kentucky, right?
I don't know enough. I can't speak intelligently upon that, James.
Nor can I.
Just so people know, they're a two-man band. There's a guitarist and a drummer. And there's a live clip on YouTube of them playing. The drummer's standing up, and he's got a washboard around his neck. And he rocks the shit out of that. And it's a mixture of... It's pretty much just rock and roll, but it's very dirty southern rock.
Yeah,
it's like a bluegrassy rock type thing.
Yeah, but it's heavy and
it's gritty.
Yeah, the guy sounds like he's been smoking Pall Mall for like 30 years, and he's been drinking really serious fucking moonshine.
Yeah, and I tell you,
that's the way music should be for this crap.
Absolutely,
horseshit.
I saw the
I want cigarette stains on everyone's fingers.
Right?
I saw one of the YouTube videos, and they were in a radio. They were in a studio on some radio show, and it was just the two of them playing live, and it sounded like anything he had recorded. I was like, damn, he's good.
Well, what people don't realize is most of the stuff that you hear today that's being put out by record company, whatever, the popular stuff, even some a lot of the metal stuff that I in the genre I listen to, that's studio trickery.
Right.
There's trigger drums. It doesn't matter what it means, but they can't pull it off like they once did.
Yeah.
And you go see a band live, there's a lot of trickery right there.
Oh, really? And still live, they're able to pull off a lot of nonsense.
They with different kind of effects on the voice, like an auto tone, or even with the drums and stuff like that. And I actually got, and I'll just real quick, I saw a show maybe 8 months ago, Unearthly Trance, Suma, and Coughworm, and they played with, there was no sound system, they just set up live.
Really?
And what that makes you do is you don't realize that the drummers have to hit harder. And that's what most of these bands don't understand, is everything's triggered, so basically you can lightly hit a drum or something like that. It just sounds big.
Lame.
These guys had to play hard, it was awesome. So.
Yeah, that's, are you still mixing music in your basement? For anybody who doesn't know, Jim is a musical genius. He plays every instrument in his basement.
In his band.
Yeah, and not at the same time. He doesn't have a guitar sitting at the drum set with the microphone. He mixes his own. He's made a studio in his basement, and it's scary as all hell.
Yeah, it's dingy, it's dark.
There's
a lot of empty bottles down there. There might have been a body I tripped over. I don't know.
That was in the crawl space, dude.
Yeah, that's right.
That was you satisfying your necrophilic fetish.
That's why I slept to get away from Peg that night.
Dude, we were talking about that last night. Remember Peg lounging on the couch with his shirt off?
There's nothing worse.
Awful. Yeah. He was not looking
at
all.
We'll call him when we do the Just Awful show. I'm sorry, Jason. Jason, for anybody who's Jason Pegg is a powerlifter. He's on Elite FTS, and Jason served our country proudly. He really blew the heck out of his arm. Like, I give him credit.
Jason is one of my top five best friends.
Yeah, Jason's, as much as we rip on him.
Yeah, he'd be ripping himself to shit right now. I rip him all the time. And,
yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what. He wants to get my portrait tattooed on him just as a joke.
Well, it's not a joke, Jim.
No, that's a sick fetish, Jim, and I would run.
As much as you say it's a joke, it's not a joke to him.
I told him I'd pay for it,
Is it going to be like a big one on his back, like Steve-O or something?
Yeah. It's a big me right above his crotch. So, every girl that's with him wants to be with me anyway.
I know the inside info. I'm not touching that one, Jim. I'm not touching that one. You're not dragging us down that dirty lane.
Unless you try a little harder.
Hey, Jim, you know what? I do want to get talk a little bit more with you. What is the most impressive whiff that you've ever seen, whether it be on the internet or in person? I mean, I know you love strength. I know you love, you appreciate it. I know there's a lot of crap out there, but what turns you on?
There's a ton of stuff. I'll make a couple examples. The one thing that always stayed with me was when Fred Hatfield squatted 1,000.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that was my ultimate goal through lifting was to squat 1,000. And so when I saw that, it was huge for me. There's always like the pet. I'm just gonna. These are not in any order. Like the Pat Mendez video of him squatting 800 or 660 for X6 reps is amazing.
Oh wait, no, isn't he a Olympic lifter? They're not strong, are they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I actually saw someone criticize him because after he squatted 650 for six or 660 for six, he let the bar fall off his back and how dangerous that was. It's like, dude, because like. Like, you can't say anything because he's awesome and you're not.
What, the squatting was 650 for six wasn't dangerous. Dropping the bar was.
Yeah, it was. And the thing is, and you guys know as well as I do, is he didn't do that with any belts, any wraps, or anything. And there's not many people that we know, if you know what I mean, that can do that.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Obviously there's. I've heard stories about Rob Fusner.
Yeah.
The guy at the West Side was amazing. Obviously, Chuck Roberford has always been amazing.
Yeah.
I actually got to see Andy Bolton, the first 1,000-pound deadlift in person.
Oh, yeah?
That was amazing. Obviously, the videos that Constantine puts up are always impressive.
What do you think of Benny? What do you think of Benny Magnuson's deadlift?
What can you say? It's incredible.
I honestly felt like, they needed to weigh the plates. I'm not starting that. I don't believe it. But it looked
that easy.
Yeah, maybe they can. It's the same thing.
I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying it was...
controversy has been around since John Hemsley rolled out his own bar and plates.
Right.
Years ago.
And, no. I don't think that was the case.
I don't think it was the case.
I'm just saying that because it looked as if a plate was missing on each side. That's how easy the 1,000 was. 1,015?
1,015, yeah.
The thing is whether or not it was, we can debate that all day, and it's not going to affect my life any.
No.
Right, yeah, no. You're still going to drink Monster and Jim Beam.
I'm still going to have to be a dad, and I have to do a lot of other shit. But
yeah, you're going to be a dad again, right?
Yeah, can you imagine how that thing?
How did this happen, Doctor?
You lied, you bastards!
Yeah, I'm not the one that should be saying that. It should be Juliet,
right?
So,
you're gonna have to support another child now. So what are you writing next? You haven't written for a while, Jim.
Well, that had a lot to do with my divorce. It's a long story, but I'm not trying to.
No.
The Politan book is done. I'm just waiting for the cover. In fact, I got all that stuff taken care of this week and last week.
I'm waiting for my free copy.
You want a free?
Dude, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for one, dude. It's freaking $30. The best $30 I'll spend.
No,
$18.99.
Oh, nice.
All you people who go out on the internet and you rob stuff for free, you really should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm serious. These guys put a lot of time, a lot of effort into these books, into these programs. They spend a lot of money and countless hours. You know what? I get questions all the time about 531 and other training programs. I always answer the question. I'm like, go out and buy a book. It's 20, whatever it is. You can afford. If you can afford a $300 bench shirt, a $400 squat suit, $50 gym membership, and $100 on the Exosplode Knox 27,
that's what
buy a friggin' book.
If they'll spend $100 in supplements a week.
Right.
Yeah, but they won't take the time of actually, setting forth the right foot and getting, whatever. That's, I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to talk.
No, I'm just saying, if one more person buys a book because of this rant, you're supporting Strength Athletics. And that's, we can all get stuff for free. We know enough people, but, I go to gyms, I pay, I want to support the sport, I want to support the people, I pay my memberships, I pay my applications to meets, I don't look to beat anybody or anything, because it's not a big sport, there's not a lot of, a lot of people think everybody's doing this, everybody has a very small, picture of what's going on, and you got to support it if you want it to keep growing.
My first meet I ever did was the IPA Nationals that Dave put on, I think in 2001, and I was standing in line to get into the first day of the meet. And Louis Simmons was right in front of me. And the person at the door is like, oh, Louis, go ahead through. He's like, nah, I have to pay.
Yeah.
And if there's anyone that should be let in to, for free, it's him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I learned a ton just from that. I was like sitting there like, wow.
Yeah.
He knows that, this is how it's done. And it just sounds like a random thing. Right?
No,
it sticks with you. It means something.
The thing that you have to understand too is I still make money off books, so I'm not going to sit here and bitch and moan because that doesn't get me anywhere. It just gets me frustrated. And honestly,
right.
The thing is, I can still help. The people that may get the book for free and stuff, they're going to buy something eventually, and I'm okay with that.
Let's hope.
And the thing is, if they do it for free, they wouldn't have bought it anyway.
Right. Well, is it true that if hot dogs were currency, you'd have Oscar Mayer cash?
I wish, man. I wish. Dude, I just outlined a whole new book, and I bounce some ideas off Juliet every day about some stuff, and she lets me rant and rave about whatever. And so that whole, it's going to be, it's kind of like a book about everything, about anything from, I actually have a chapter called You Jackals Beware.
Yeah, nice.
Which is a reference to a band called Howl. They have a song called that. It's just basically calling out all the bullshit that I hear, and I fucking hate it.
Right.
And the thing is, and this is not, and this may sound a little cocky, I don't give a shit, but, you know, all this stuff I hear people say, supposedly experts, they have not a fucking leg to stand on.
They haven't done it.
And, no, and the thing is this, is, and Julia and I talked about this last night, you know, you, in our given arena, like the strength specialist or whatever you want to call it, the fitness people, it is anyone, unless you're like living in the middle of fucking nowhere, like literally like Antarctica or something, you have to, you can participate and compete.
Yeah.
And it's not like, for example, I can criticize movies, right? And people say, well, you've never been in a movie. It's like, well, I can't just go to Hollywood and be in a movie.
Hey, weren't you supposed to be Buck Angel?
Supposed to be. I am. And,
sorry, these are all part of Jim's log.
Yes.
Or Pegs. There's some crazy stuff out there. So if I interject, I apologize.
Buck Angel. My mom read that. She's like, you're going to be in a movie.
Dude, I thought you were going to be in the movie, too. And
so did I. Watch it, Mom.
The likeness was kind of pretty uncanny.
I remember seeing my first, I saw a show on him. I don't know what station it was on. I was like, holy shit. And then I did like a Google search. I was like, oh.
This could be bad for 531.
Yeah. I'm like, keep this under wraps.
Yeah.
It on favorites.
Put it on favorites. Yeah. Just delete your history.
Yeah, in private browsing.
And you said you've read, you know, getting to know people beyond lifting, which is really cool. I think a lot of people in the community just, you know, they just see the lifter. And you talked about, you know, being an English major. You know, I bet you a lot of people would never imagine that. You know, you said you read a ton of books. I'm just curious. It's a random question. What's your favorite book?
Anything by James Elroy.
Really?
Yeah, best author in the world. And I don't actually haven't read everything by him because I actually ration out his books.
Do you really?
Yeah, because after I read like the first two or three, I think I read, I was like, and I found out how many were in his catalog. I got all depressed. I was like, I can't, I have to wait, you know, so I ration out every year, so I read one. And one of my best friends growing up, and he's still one of my best friends, he actually, the guy that actually came up with the saying, North of Badge, Jim Messer, you know, growing up, that's all we did was read, and, you know, and he's obviously an athlete and stuff, and we did stuff like that, but he's a voracious reader. And him and I correspond weekly about books and stuff like that. And we always come back to James Elroy.
No kidding.
And honestly, that book, and I've probably read every Sherlock Holmes story probably about 100 times.
You excited for the second movie to come out? I know you'll text me. Not at all? You didn't love the first movie, Jim?
And Juliet will attest to this, I probably watch Sherlock Holmes twice a week.
I know, you text me when it's on, usually.
Yeah. But the thing is I'm afraid of what's going to happen, because most sequels become too funny.
Right.
Or, you know, I want it to be darker and meaner and edgier and worse, like, you know, just grittier. And most sequels aren't like that. And it's like, I don't want, it's like Caddyshack. Like, what's the best 12th movie ever made?
Caddyshack.
The fucking worst.
Caddyshack 2.
Hey, Jim, I'm sorry, we could talk forever, but they're going to shut the mics off on us, so...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right?
We'd love to have you on again. We're definitely going to be out to see you for the golf tournament.
Yeah, the Wendler Tour.
Hey, let's... we got to talk because I got some shit going on, but we need to, because obviously the baby's going to be born in August.
Let's firm up. We'll firm up a date. We'll get in touch with you. You want to do it on air so everybody can meet us there? Or,
Yeah, be in Columbus around...
around noon on June 18th.
Make sure to wear... So everybody, please make sure to check... I know Jim didn't... We're friends with Jim. He didn't come here to plug his book, but I want to plug it. Make sure to check his book, 531. If you haven't, everybody I'm sure has heard, 531 on Elite FTS. You know, Matt,
Amazon.
Yeah, and I was the only one who wrote the bad review. They took it off.
Oh, well, dude, what the fuck? You know how you wrote the review? You didn't even read it.
Oh, man. Jim, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We'll be in touch to get down to see you. Or over, or wherever it is.
Hey,
Jim, thanks, man. We'll see you.
All right, take it easy, Matty.
All right, pleasure.
I just want to throw out a couple of plugs for my sponsor, Elite FTS, Matt's sponsor, Elite
yep.
FTS. They take good care of us. Check them out for anything you want with strength athletics. I mean, the place speaks for itself. And also, I'm sponsored by At Large Nutrition. Chris Mason there takes great care of me, and they allow me to compete and do the things I want to do, which is really cool. They allow me to keep getting big and being big.
Perfect. I just want to plug myself a little bit. I'm a personal trainer in Norwalk, Connecticut. If anybody is in the Norwalk area, come to the Edge Fitness Club. I'll give you a free personal training session. It'll be fun. You get to hang out with me for an hour. It's worth it.
And Matt, is that the first time you plugged yourself today?
Nope. It won't be the last either.
Hey, thanks for checking us out on Just Bit. Hey, Matt, great job, man. Good first show.
I got you, brother.
I'm not even gonna fish you. I'm going to shake your hand.
I love it. I appreciate it.
All right. We're out.